We have a long way to go, New Mexico. It was never going to be easy. It's still not going to be easy. But we are, in fact, saving lives.
New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham updated the state this week on the latest efforts to fight the spread of COVID-19. Good afternoon, I'm Anthony Morneau. On Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update this afternoon, we'll learn more about how the state is responding to the pandemic. Our guest this hour is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. Call in with your questions or ask them on the KRWG Public Media Facebook page. It's Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update on KRWG Public Media after the news. Good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. I'm Anthony Morneau. This hour, we're learning more about how the state of New Mexico is responding to the coronavirus pandemic. Now, the number to call to join in this conversation this hour with a question is 575-646-2212. Or you can like our Facebook page and join in the conversation there. Our guest this week is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. During a news conference this week, New Mexico Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham continued to stress social distancing, saying it was producing some positive results. The governor did say it was too early to open the economy back up. Over 95,000 New Mexicans have filed for unemployment benefits in the last month. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, over 700,000 jobs were lost last month across the country. Thursday, New Mexico health officials reported that there were just under 1,600 positive cases of COVID-19 in the state. 8 deaths were reported on Thursday. Overall, there have been 44 reported coronavirus-related deaths in New Mexico. Our guest this hour is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. If you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor, please call us 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. Or like our Facebook page and join in the conversation there on our Facebook page. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me. Always appreciate the opportunity to connect, to hear the concerns, and to really take that forward as decisions are made across the state of New Mexico.
Thank you so much again for being here. Now, obviously, yesterday was the deadliest day for COVID-19 reported deaths in New Mexico. Testing has been a key part in fighting the spread of COVID-19 across the globe. Can you tell us right now, does every county in New Mexico have testing available for the virus?
Yeah, currently that's been a real emphasis of the governor and making sure that we continually push the federal government to provide more testing so that way we can have all across the state of New Mexico. And so currently we have tests that are all over the state. We want to continue to build on that, and we'll also look to expand on certain areas that may be even some focus points of testing. For example, a sample of early childhood providers, sample of minors, sample of other type of industries that are out there. So the idea to expand testing is at foremost importance that we can do that, because that'll give us a real understanding of what's taking place across the state.
So obviously there is a need in certain areas, more parts of the state than others, but in every county, is it available?
Yeah, so those tests are available. We want to make sure that people know that. We've had some challenges, and there's been a lot of ramping up of the drive-through tests about other opportunities there. But as we speak now, we want to make sure every New Mexican has that accessibility.
Okay. If you have a question for New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales, give us a call. The number to call is 575-646-2212. That's 575-646-2212. Or you can ask a question on our Facebook page, and we will get that question to the Lieutenant Governor. Right now, we are going to a caller right now. Paul is on the line. Good afternoon, Paul. How are you? Paul, are you there? All right, we don't have Paul on the line right now, but that's okay. We'll invite him to comment on our Facebook page or call this number, 575-646-2212. Lieutenant Governor, social distancing has been stressed over and over again. How are we doing as a state? Because it seems parts of the state are doing better. Health officials reported that. But just 2 weeks ago, health officials said overall, as a state, New Mexico was getting a bad grade. How are we doing right now with that?
Yeah, so when we look and see the need out there, and from the very beginning, the discussion was stay at home, socially distance yourself, and save lives. And that continues to be the message today. When we see what New Mexico has done, and I want to credit people across New Mexico for the steps that they've taken, because when you see New Mexico compared to many other surrounding states, and New Mexico is considered a leader in the approach that is being taken. But there's always room for improvement. We've seen that our grades have fluctuated as far as the measurements that are out there in the rating systems. But at the same time, I think that continually practicing those are going to be key. We have so much more that we can be doing, as has been mentioned in press and media, is utilization of tracking of cell phone data. Now, this isn't tracking individual cell phone numbers, and I want to be clear about that. What we're doing is we're tracking the movements of people across the state of New Mexico, and I think that really helps us in making decisions. But I do think, even though that we're hailed across the country as social distancing, the orders that are in place and staying at home practices, that it has helped New Mexico to help bend the curve a little bit, but there's still a whole lot more that we need to be doing.
Okay, so one other thing in New Mexico that is a concern is that we have some are concerned about how that may be being collected. Obviously, a lot of folks understand that we need to keep track of who has the virus, but what do we know as far as how much data is actually being collected by people?
Well, we just, as far as individual data, that's the example I just gave right now is showing movement across the state. And if there are any spots that there's large gatherings that are taking place, for example, some of the changes that occurred with our big box stores where we limited the capacity to 20% occupancy, a lot of that came from data that we were seeing where there was mass gatherings at a Lowe's or a Walmart or a Home Depot. And so those are kind of things that we look at. But when you look and see other data, data is key. And data is going to be something that helps continue to drive all of the decisions that we're making. And I think that's important, because when we look and see what data and what the Department of Health has done, I think has been something that, again, the rest of the country is trying to model after New Mexico, because data is absolutely key. We're working on making sure that we can provide zip codes as far as those that have tested positive, that we're able to provide more information as far as breaking down to ethnicity, breaking down those type of details. That helps us, while at the same time always making sure that we protect privacy and the accordance of HIPAA rules, that we're doing that and keeping that in mind. So the state launched its portal with more COVID-19 data, and people can access that at cv.nmhealth.org/dashboard, and you can see how that area has really improved and provided a lot more data information.
If you're just joining us, we're speaking with New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. If you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor, the number to call is 575-646-2212, or you can join in the conversation on our Facebook page. We're now going to Paul, who has patiently held on the line. Good afternoon, Paul. Do you have a question?
Yes. Hi. Thank you. Thank you, Howie. My question is around food getting wasted, and is the state trying to create a system, maybe with the National Guard, to transport particularly dairy to places in need so that it doesn't go to waste and so that those that need it get it?
Yeah, great. Paul, thank you for that, and thank you for remaining on the line. I think that's a great point. And when we look and see of trying to take care of one another and doing all that we can, that's an excellent point that the state will work. And fortunately, we do have our National Guard, who's on top of things, making sure that we're communicating constantly with our egg and our dairy and those extremely important areas of our state, that we can provide that. As far as those discussions, I'm happy to bring that up. And to, again, this is a learning opportunity for us. I know that getting food distribution out there is important. Aging Long-Term Services is working with the Department of Health and our National Guard. And I can definitely want to make sure that I bring those points out so that way we don't have any food wasted that can go and benefit people across our state, especially our most vulnerable.
The Paul's question kind of brought another question to mind. Obviously, there are many places, especially rural places in New Mexico, that some may consider food deserts, so-called food deserts. Do you see this as being an issue when you have limited places where people can go to get their food? Possibly you have more of a possibility of people interacting or getting too close to each other while trying to shop at, say, like a convenience store. Is this an issue in parts of the state?
It definitely is an issue. And that's one thing that New Mexico is very unique in, that we're so rural, that the rural aspect of us is, and so spread out in many areas, presents challenges within itself. And so you look and see where people will go in a small community because that's the only store that they have. And fortunately, is we'll continue to have dialogue and continue to work in collaboration with businesses to assist with areas like that. But I can give you an example just recently about a Mora, and Mora not having the access to a convenience store or a grocery store, so having to transport food and transport items of essentials to those communities has been a challenge. We're grateful for all those that have stepped up, our agencies, along with our church groups, our volunteers, our nonprofits, who've helped fill in that need. So that's a positive, but at the same time, it presents those challenges that you mentioned. It presents exactly that we're dealing with.
If you're just joining us, this is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Our guest this hour is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. If you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor about the state's response to the COVID-19 public health crisis, give us a call. The number is 575-646-2212. That's 646-2212. Or ask a question on our Facebook page. We're now going to another caller. We have Mary on the line. Good afternoon. Mary, do you have a question?
Yes. Hello, Howie. This is Mary Risley, and I have a member of my family who we're pretty sure had COVID in early February or late February, and we've been reading a lot about clinical trials in other parts of the country where people who have recovered from COVID-19 can give blood and the antibodies that their body has developed in their plasma can be given to two or three other very sick people. And I called the governor's office, and the man I spoke to said, well, we don't have that, but many of these places that are trying it are state clinical trials. So I guess my question is, could New Mexico take advantage of this? I mean, we have several hundred people who have recovered from it, and many of them would be glad to give blood. So could we start a clinical trial and at least be helping the people who are struggling with volunteers from the recovered community?
Thanks, Mary.
Yeah. Mary, thank you for that. And I'm glad that you reached out to the governor's office and had the discussion, because on a daily basis, we discuss whatever options and available medical advances that we can utilize. So this is something that's at the forefront as well of how we can address this, because we talk about testing and we talk about other things to be done. But the thing that's so unique about this virus is just that we don't have the immunity to it. I know that there's been other areas, even around the world, that have used certain type of medication that has seemed to, whether it was used for malaria or other type of areas like that, those are the possibilities that we have. We also want to make sure in the state that we're doing all we can to be as careful, too, that we don't rush into doing something without having the full knowledge of what the impacts and maybe side effects that could be. We're fortunate, though, to your point, as far as what New Mexico could do. One reason why I think that New Mexico has been a leader in many areas is because of the ability that we have with our labs and the close relationship and working with our labs to try these things to see if the antibodies, if the donating the blood is something that's possible. So our scientists, we're grateful for the work that they do and continually finding ways to really defeat this and to find that immunity to this virus.
Okay, now we're moving on to another caller. We have Gilbert on the line. Good afternoon. Gilbert, do you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor?
Yes, I do. First of all, thank you for having me on. I just want to find out whether we're going to do any testing down here in southern New Mexico, which is a small town in Chaparral, New Mexico. I understand there was a positive one person up here in this area. Or is it just going to be up in the big town, the big cities?
I thank you. I heard Chaparral was breaking up a little bit. Anthony, if you can just repeat the question,
yeah,
I'd be happy to answer it.
Gilbert had a question regarding testing in Chaparral. Now, I know that there was some testing in southern Doñana County and Sunland Park, and there was also something announced. Are you familiar with any of the updates in testing in the colonias here in southern Doñana County?
Well, I'm aware of them testing up in Las Cruces area, mm-hmm. but we're about 30-something odd miles from Las Cruces, and I was just wondering whether there a state or anybody was going to come down here and do some testing in a forgotten town up here in Chaparral, New Mexico.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Gilbert.
Yeah, thank you, Gilbert, and I appreciate that. Just before we got on live in the air, one of the things that I'm grateful that Anthony has me on the line is because I can give a rural perspective and a southern New Mexico perspective, because that's where I come from, and understanding the challenges that we have and the continual press from people across New Mexico and, quite frankly, people out of Doñana County that had reached out early on saying we need more tests, we need testing sites. And that really prompted the state to make sure that we can provide more tests that took place in Sunland Park in the southern valley of Doñana County. I think that those are continually things that we're going to push for. And I believe that especially in those rural areas like Chaparral is key for when I talked about focused testing that could be done in certain sample areas. That's one of those areas that I think is important that we point out, especially when you're so close to the state lines and you see the impact that's taking place there in El Paso, in other areas that may be right along the borders. Those are areas that we can do to increase that testing and provide some of that focused sampling.
Now, one of the issues with the testing when you do go to those areas is having enough supplies. Is the state having trouble when they do go to the rural areas to provide testing of running out of supplies of hours before they expect to?
Yeah, and it shows just all over the country. You see the long lines of cars on the drive-up testing sites. So it's something that every state is dealing with. New Mexico is among those states who have their challenges in trying to provide as much testing as possible with the given resources that we have. Ultimately, we want to get to the point where every single New Mexican is able to be tested and that we can have those resources there. And that's why our governor is continually on the phone with the White House, making sure that she's pushing, saying we need more tests here, on the phone with the vice president, on the phone with the health professionals from the federal side, because that's the goal, is the more that we can test people, the more idea that we have of what needs to be done in the state of New Mexico.
Okay, we are now going to another call. We have Joe on the line. Good afternoon, Joe. Thanks for calling Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Do you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor?
Yes. First of all, let me say they're doing a wonderful job up there in San Antonio, in Santa Fe. But I read the other day that the Las Cruces Diocese was going to have live services. Now, why should those fools be able to get everybody sick and then they go out into the community and get everybody sick? I don't think that's right.
Okay. Well, thanks for the comment there. And obviously, we want to continue to keep the conversation in a civil and open manner. But I do want to bring up that I do want to discuss that issue with you, Lieutenant Governor. This has been a concern for a lot of people. Obviously, Joe's really concerned about it. What is the administration's take on the diocese deciding to open up public services? They have announced that they're going to regulate it to a certain amount of people, but what are your thoughts on that?
Thank you. And a person, being a person who understands the importance of our worship and our faith and whatever religion that people may choose to practice in, that's always important to us. And we want to make sure that we respect that and we understand that. Fortunately, we've had a lot of good support from our faith communities across the state and have understood the responsibility that we have to one another and making sure that we are doing all we can to protect people by going online, by having different types of services that may be where it's providing that protection. I have to say that I was surprised when I saw the press release that said the Las Cruces Diocese would be the first, I believe, in the country to reopen. That was a surprise and that was a concern. We're going to continue to have discussions. I know that they stated that they would stay within the health order of the governor, which is that's an executive order, so that's in place right now. But even at that, you're increasing the chances of people, even if you socially distance yourself, you're increasing the chances of people to be infected. The number one most important thing that we can do is to stay home, to socially distance ourselves, and making sure that we're protecting one another. Coming from the faith side, I think that just goes right along with the faith aspect of it, is that we are brothers keepers, and it's our responsibility to do everything we can to keep everyone safe. And I would hope that decision would be reconsidered, because I think it does lend the opportunity and the idea that it's safe to leave your home, it's safe to go ahead and congregate, regardless of the numbers that may be in that church.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Good afternoon. I'm Anthony Morneau. Joining us this hour is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. If you have a question, give us a call. The number to call is 575-646-2212. We're now going to another caller. We have Paula on the line. Good afternoon, Paula. Do you have a question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I recently called the governor's office to ask if the state of New Mexico had initiated a rent reprieve with the high unemployment rates that are being reported, and if they have, who qualifies. I was informed by whoever I spoke to at the governor's office that the New Mexico Supreme Court had passed a ruling that people could not be evicted during this troubling time, but I have heard odd reports from various places around the country that this is being done. So if you could address those questions, I would be very grateful.
Thanks for the call, Paula. Appreciate it.
Paula, thank you. And again, I want to say thank you for calling the governor's office, calling us to ask these questions, because we want to take these and answer them. And if there's things that we don't have answers to, then we want to provide and have those discussions of how we can support those type of requests. I can tell you that was important to the governor from the very beginning, to make sure that people had the safety and the security of their home, not to have these evictions that would take place, primarily knowing that it was going to be a hardship on families with hours being reduced, with unemployment claims going up. And so I would recommend that if there's this taking place in our state, that people would know the one-stop shop website that I would encourage everyone to go to, if you haven't yet, is newmexico.gov. That can give you a link right there to report these type of abuses and going against some of the orders that we have in place, because the last thing that we want to do right now is to have people be out on the streets, out of their home, and we don't want that to take place. Along those lines, as we've seen also, there's been some other abuses, and even though it doesn't go specifically to the eviction piece, we've seen that stimulus checks have come into the state of New Mexico, but we've gotten reports that many of those stimulus checks are going directly to payday lenders, and payday lenders are not getting those out to the people that rightfully deserve those monies. at a time of greatest need. So we're looking at that. We're going to be aggressive and make sure that we address those type of things, because it's important that we take care of one another and not take advantage of people.
All right, and we're now going to move on to another caller. We have Veronica on the line. Thanks for joining us for Voice of the Public. Do you have a question?
Yes, good afternoon. I've left the same message with the mayor's office here in Las Cruces, but I haven't heard back. I went to the Walmart on Valley Drive this past Wednesday. Very few of the employees, whether it be stockers or the checkers, wore masks, and more seriously, none that I could see in the Fresh Deli wore masks. They always wear gloves. Where a worker who sneezed into her arm and then used her arm to wipe her nose. I talked with the assistant manager and expressed my concerns. He said masks were optional. When I pressed him, I got the same response. This makes no sense, since even the minimum to halt the spread is not being observed. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Veronica. Lieutenant Governor, could you address this issue? Obviously, she's very concerned.
Absolutely, and thank you for that, because she has every right to be concerned, as all of us do, because not only are we protecting those customers that go into those establishments, we're also making sure and protecting those employees as well. And so we've had discussion, you know, as recent as today, of what the state needs to do to ensure that we can enforce and make that where every person has those protections. And the masks, I want to encourage people, we need to have people wearing masks. It's not only to protect you, but more so to protect others in those cases where there's maybe a sneeze or a cough that takes place. We know that the virus is transmitted through the droplets. This will give you the protection that's needed. But we want to make sure people are using non-medical masks. Those medical masks have got to be reserved and for those providers who are testing, for those providers who are on the front line and the healthcare side of it. We just want to make sure and make that point clear. But again, it's in collaboration. We have to work together in a partnership with business, with government, to make sure that we are protecting all people. So that's a valid concern, and that's something that the state, you'll see more discussion and probably more action that's going to happen because of those type of unfortunate abuses.
So right now, is the governor considering making it mandatory for people to wear masks in public?
I think all options are on the table, and yeah, that's something that we've discussed, and I believe that within the next week or so, we'll have more discussions and a decision will be made, because at the very least, that's something that can be done. It doesn't have to be expensive masks. It could be as simple as a $1 bandana, but the lives that could be saved, the spreading of the virus that we're able to contain is important, and that's a simple way that every single person can do, and if it takes for us to have to enforce that, we're willing to do so.
If you're just joining us, this is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. I'm Anthony Morneau. With us this hour is New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. If you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor, give us a call at 575-646-2212. We are now going to another caller. We have Monique on the line. Good afternoon, Monique. Do you have a question?
Yes, well, a question and a comment. Well, thank you for taking our calls. I think that the folks in Deming act in a very cavalier manner when it comes to protection. They do not pay any attention, even though the stores like Pepper's and Walmart do have the distance clearly marked and the direction in the aisles. I see things that I find really, really appalling. Two or three people coming, bringing the umbrellas, doing the shopping, not wearing a mask, people meeting each other. Yeah. Hey, como esta va tu? And then we do have big hugs. And I think it is very dangerous for themselves and for the rest of the population.
Monique, did you have a question, or was it really just a comment and sharing that?
It is a comment. That's
okay.
What I said. It is a comment.
And you're calling from Deming? You're saying that's where you live in Deming?
Deming, yes.
Okay.
I live in Deming.
Thank you so much
and
for the call. I appreciate
it. It's really disturbing.
Okay. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. Lieutenant Governor, obviously this is an issue. We've heard it happening here in Las Cruces and now in Deming. So how do you... regulate or enforce or have these conversations with businesses who are already, you know, facing a lot of tough decisions right now?
These are, again, great discussions, great comments that are made, because it's the stuff that we got to, it reinforces some of the concerns that we've had out there. But, you know, one of the biggest challenges that we've had in dealing with all this change to our normal routine of life is just the type of people that we are as New Mexicans. Mm-hmm. We're very open, very warm, handshake, hugs, showing that cariño to one another is something that we're just accustomed to. So it's very difficult to change those habits. But I believe, again, by education, by communication of what needs to be done, how we can protect each person is something that's important. And, you know, one thing that I've seen on a personal note is that the utilization of the mask, for example, that automatically alerts people who may not at this point wear some. That automatically alerts them that there's extra caution there. And I've seen that those have been effective. Now, we can have everybody do that. And, again, the state is prepared to do whatever we need to do to save lives. Because at the end of the day, we can have discussions, we can get criticized, we can have any type of opinion that's out there. At the end of the day, our responsibility is to protect people's lives and to keep people from getting sick. So if that's something that the state needs to be doing, and obviously it, and percentage-wise, the calls that have come in with that same concern, it really helps us in making the decisions that each New Mexican should be practicing this.
Okay, we're going to move on now to our next caller. We have Ruth on the line. Ruth has a question for you. Good afternoon, Ruth.
Hi. Hi, Howie. This kind of jumps just is related to the last two questions, but bringing it down to a more personal level. So how would you recommend it, and how would you possibly even interact with the youth of our community who might not be taking this seriously, or, you know, I mean, like, as to what to say or do? You know, I was recently in a grocery store, and there were three, you know, like 16, 17-year-old boys, young men, all together, you know, buying one thing right by the cashier. They go out, they're chest bumping and hand bumping and just, you know, and they're just having fun. And my first thought was, oh, it's nice to see guys who are really enjoying themselves. And all of a sudden I'm like, no, this is a different time. And my husband was outside, and he had noticed from the car even these young men, and we were trying to think of maybe something we could have said. You know, I was wearing a mask, you know, that might have gotten through to them. And I've seen you, we've seen you interact at ball games and whatever all over the years with these teens. And I'm just wondering if something comes to mind, something that you think could get through, or maybe we shouldn't say something, because I don't want somebody who could be, maybe their parent was in the mines, you know, and they might be an atypical carrier. So I don't really want someone coming too close to me either. But would have really appreciate your thoughts on this, because I've really been giving it a lot of thought.
Thanks so much, Ruth.
And I appreciate that, because, again, it goes back to the point that I was making, that it's difficult in New Mexico for us to change our way of life of how we're used to operating and being so close to one another. But you're right, it is a different time. And it is important that we can continue to message that we can do a better job at the state, as far as whether it's public service announcements, whether utilization of more media, social media, and even getting out, extending into many of the platforms that we see our teenagers and our kids use, whether it's TikTok or whether it's Facebook or Instagram or Twitter, how we can ramp up our communication for people to know. And probably one of the most impactful things that could be done, and I say this from a personal perspective, because I myself have had a close relative who tested positive. And I know the impact, and I see the struggle that he has gone through, but having those personal stories shared. So we are ramping that up, because I think that goes a long way. If someone can identify a person that they know who has been through it, they take it a little bit more seriously. But it's a challenge. And knowing, especially in rural parts of New Mexico, we see that this is even more of a challenge, because there's many times even community leaders who don't believe that this is real and who believe that this is overblown and that we shouldn't be going to the extent that we're doing. That doesn't help. And we have to make sure and push back against that and let people know this is real and this could be deadly.
If you're just joining us, this is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Our guest is Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. If you have a question, call 575-646-2212 to speak with the Lieutenant Governor. We're now going to another caller. We have Sue joining us this afternoon. Good afternoon, Sue. Do you have a question?
Yes. I hear a lot about protecting vulnerable citizens. I am 86 years old. I'm disabled. I have a caregiver that is really essential to me. She goes shopping for me. She cooks food for me. She's being very careful, but I think it would be very helpful if she could be tested. And I know she also works for another senior. So I don't, she's been told that unless she has symptoms, she cannot be tested.
So you bring up an interesting issue, a very important issue. Lieutenant Governor, how is the state able to monitor or be or enforce any type of regulations with that situation with caregivers?
Yeah, and this is something that hits close to home, so I really appreciate that brought out because of not only the vulnerable population that we have, but we also have those that are caring for them, including people like my sister, who's a caregiver and who provides support for elderly patients. And so this is something that, is important, and that's why the governor has extended the criteria. As we remember when this first came to New Mexico and we were asking for more tests, there was a very limited amount of tests that were available. Therefore, we had people who were experiencing symptoms to be the first ones to be tested. That goes right along now as we've expanded it to people who may be asymptomatic, but they may have been in close contact with someone who was tested positive. And it goes even further to the step that the governor will continue to push. And we're not going to stop until we get to that point where we can get every New Mexican tested, because that's how we're able to get a handle of this, is having that robust testing that tells us where we're at, what is taking place, and people who may be asymptomatic, knowing what those results could be is going to be extremely instrumental to helping further bend the curve. Because let's be specific on this. We're not expected to go into the peak of this in New Mexico for possibly another week till the end of May. With that peak right there, we have control right now to really bend that and to really get ahead of it.
All right. We are now going to another caller. We have Thomas on the line. Good afternoon, Thomas. Thanks for calling Voice of the Public. Do you have a question?
Yeah, good afternoon. Governor, I have a question. What do you say to those like Steve Pierce and folks in Roswell right now who say we should just open up the economy and allow all businesses to reopen, I think, right away?
Yeah, thank you, because we're dealing with that. And as we know, that there is the yearning to get back to normal way of living. I don't know if we're ever going to be able to get back to exactly the way we were used to. But we can get and take steps in moving forward. So we understand whether it's the president or whether it's other leaders who are out there saying that now we have to open up America. We just have to just further stress is that what we're doing in the state of New Mexico, it's making a difference. And it's taking every single one of us to make that difference. And it's important that we continue to move forward and to do so. So we feel that at this point that it currently isn't safe to reopen completely. I think by doing so, we would undo the heroic work of healthcare workers and first responders and the vigorous social distancing practices that have been in place and will continue and must be in place, because we see the curve is flattening, but we can't stop now. The state is working to develop a robust economy as we speak to make sure that we have recovery plans in place so that when it is time and we see that we're safe and able to protect lives, that we can reopen the state. But doing so too early would be a mistake and just set us back and further delay the opening of the state of New Mexico.
If you're just joining us, this is Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. I'm Anthony Moreno. With us this hour, we have New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. The number to call is 575-646-2212. We are now going to Orlando. I think we got him back. Orlando, good afternoon. Do you have a question?
Hey, Anthony, it's Orlando. Thank you for hosting this program. Hi, Lieutenant Governor. It's your buddy Orlando from La Mesa. How are you?
Orlando, muy bien, gracias. So good to hear you.
Me da mucho gusto escucharte también. I want to thank you, first of all, and the governor for taking such a proactive stance. Our state is well ahead of the game because of the actions that y'all have taken. But I do have a concern, Howie, in that I was very proud of our diocese, because I'm a devout Catholic. I do a rosary every day, by the way, at 6 p.m. on my Facebook, Orlando Antonio Curry Jimenez, so people don't have to go out. But, you know, I was very proud of our diocese for having grasped on with the governor immediately on March 16th and saying, you know, we're not going to have masses anymore. But just the other day, he came out with another statement, and he's reopening masses to where five people can be in the church, and then everybody else has to listen or watch from their streaming device outside. But what people aren't understanding is the five people includes the priest, the musician, the helper, the reader, and that's it. I mean, that's it. And now my concern is that I know, like in Spanish we say, conozco mi gente, and right away, Rari, I saw one church is going to have chairs set up outside their church for their daily mass, and then the priest is going to come out and distribute communion like that. That was not in the thing that the bishop sent out. Like, they have to stay in their cars, and then they can wait in their cars for the priest to bring them communion. So there's already, like, little things like that, and then other churches are going to, like, set their own little rules. What are your thoughts on this? I really think that it's a mistake to try to open masses back up. I miss receiving the body of Christ, but I'm immunosuppressed myself, and I can't go to where there's people. I every time I have to go pick up a prescription, I dread. So what are your thoughts on that, Howie?
Thank you, Orlando. And I know a while ago we discussed that a little bit, but I agree. I think it's a mistake to open up and to give the false sense that we're okay and that we can move forward, because we know, again, we're very social people. We're very social state. And once you start opening up, it leads to further connections, larger groups, larger amount of people who may want to participate. And as much as we love our faith and as much as that we respect the religious practices that are out there, we cannot do that right now. This is an opportunity for us to really bend that curve. And the only way to do it is by practicing the things that have gotten us to this point. We're not perfect, and we know that there's still a long ways to go. But it would be unfortunate to take a step back and, most importantly, impact people like a musician like yourself who has the health conditions that could be life-threatening. We have to make sure and just to recognize that we can worship. And I consistently say that, and I even put a video out during Easter, is that we have the opportunity to be the church and to also know that home is holy. As the governor has stated, we can continue to practice our faith and to practice our religion while keeping people safe. Having people congregate is not the safe manner to go right now.
All right, we're going to another caller. We have Robert on the line. Good afternoon, Robert. Welcome to Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Do you have a question?
Just a comment. I'd like to thank the governor. I think she's doing a very, very good job taking care of all of us New Mexicans. I know she has her hands full, and she's got a great team. So thank you guys very much for doing a great job. Second of all, I'd like to really be, it'd be nice if they could implement a requirement in New Mexico for all customers entering all stores in the state of New Mexico to be required to wear a mask, just like they're required to wear shoes and a shirt. It'd be cool if that would be the new norm, shirt, shoes, and a mask required to go into all stores for all customers. That would be great. And once again, thank you guys so much for doing a good job. Good job, Governor. And that's it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thank you for that.
I want to move on. Do you to another caller? We have Michael on the line. Michael, good afternoon, and thanks for joining us for Voice of the Public.
Good afternoon, Mr. Moreno and Mr. Morales. It's a pleasure to speak to you today. I have a question about the payday places like Ace Express and whatnot. I don't have a bank account, but I've been trying to like put things online so I don't have to go into stores because people are not giving you the 6 foot social distance or whatever it is. And I have all these various conditions, which means I'm prone to probably catching that COVID-19. And I went up to the store the other day and everything is closed. And it's like I can't put my money on my card or anything, and I'm having to go back into the stores again, having to go through, you know, people coming right up against me and whatnot. I had a guy the other day just pushed me out of the way, and it's like he touched me. He shouldn't have been doing that. And I just kind of wondered why that's not classed as an essential business because people, a lot of people that don't have bank accounts are cashing their cards that way so that they can use like a Visa debit card or a MasterCard that way. And hopefully you've got an answer for it, or there must have been maybe an alternative reason why they were closed. But I'd like to know what it was.
Thank you for that. So I just wanted a little bit more specifics on the establishments that you're talking about, because I didn't quite catch that right at the beginning.
Yeah, are you talking?
I'm sorry. What I do is I have like a Visa card. Well, I can't have a regular bank account, okay? And my payee uses the regular checking system, so I have to go and find somewhere to cash a check. I have to go into a store. I try to like minimize the amount of contact, and I'm home most of the week, okay? And I don't hardly go out except to go out front on my porch, and that's it. But the thing is, I was trying to work with, being able to pay these bills. Like for example, I have tried to pay my car insurance bill, and the office is closed, not open for walk-ins, and there was no way for me to pay the bill except to go online and make the account and all that and pay it with a card. But now that I can't put money on the card, I'm having a problem again having to go back trying to pay these bills because, like, the insurance companies, they're essential and all that, but they're closing doors and stuff like that. And, you know, you just can't walk in and leave a payment. And I don't know about you, but I wouldn't leave a check or cash. Just leave it there because you don't know how it's going to get taken care of. But I had it all set up to work on the Internet, and then all of a sudden I go up there to Ace Express, and guys closed it down. You know, so I don't know what the reason was. But, I mean, there's people, that's essential people, that need to put money on their cards and use their cards, and they can't. They got to go all the way to El Paso to do this.
Okay. Thanks. Thanks for the call, Robert. Lieutenant Governor, do you have any answers regarding that or any thoughts?
Yeah, thank you. And I don't know specifically the business that's being discussed. I don't know if that's a payday lender service or what, but I do, and I spoke a little bit earlier to that, is that those weren't deemed essential if that's in fact what that was. And so I think that with those that personalize and that type of practice, the governor just felt that it fortunately would be opening up for other financial struggles that may be there in place if these type of loans with high interest are actually taking place. And so we wanted to make sure that these were not going to be part of people's daily practices for during these difficult times. It may be easy to obtain a loan, but at what cost down the line? So I can speak to that, and I'm pretty sure that's along the lines what the caller was talking about. But that's the thought process behind that is just again, doing the best we can to protect New Mexicans mentally, physically, financially, emotionally, and those are the thoughts that go behind the decisions that are made.
All right. Now we're going to go now to Sue. Sue is on the line. Good afternoon, Sue. Thanks for joining us for Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update. Do you have a question for the Lieutenant Governor?
Yes, yes. Thank you very much for doing this program. I have actually a question concerning the contact tracing that the Office of the Government has mentioned in the website. I wonder how it is being done, and I also wonder, I've been telling several people about this, wanting to know how, if it is possible to organize recruiting all of us who are at home, who have a computer or a laptop and a cell phone, and could help with the contact tracing. And probably lots of us would be very happy to do that, some of us as volunteers, but some of the people who are forced to be at work at home losing their job could also be probably not too difficult to be trained to do the contact tracing. And I'd like to know if this is something that is feasible and a possible source of manpower, because it's a very labor-intensive type of activity, and it requires a high-tech or maybe a lot of people with a willingness to do this. They're already doing it in other states, and I wonder why it couldn't be done in New Mexico.
Okay, thanks for the call, Sue.
Yeah, thank you. And I think that's one of the things that we've seen in our state is that it's brought out so many people with goodwill to want to make sure they can volunteer and they can assist in different areas. When it comes to that, obviously, we have to always take into consideration and most importance is protecting those patients' privacy rights and doing that. But further discussion as far as volunteerism, we've had a lot of great supports, and I would encourage people that have an idea of where they can volunteer across the state and assist, go to newmexico.gov. There'll be a link on there that'll show how you can request and anything that can be done to assist us, where there's a specific link that says, how can I help or volunteer? Those are the type of things that we want to hear from, and that's how good policy is made, is when you have it open and people are having dialogue and discussions, and it can get vetted, and then at the end of the day, hopefully that we have good volunteer systems in place that protect New Mexicans.
Okay. Thank you so much for that call. We might have time for one more caller at 646-2212 to speak with Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales. We do have a question from our social media desk, Lieutenant Governor. The White House guidelines call for a so-called downward trajectory of cases for 14 days, but it's not defined. Some experts say reopening the country should not occur until states have almost zero new cases. Where does the administration stand on this? Where does New Mexico stand on this?
Again, it goes back to ensuring that that we see what the data is telling us. We want to make sure that the data is accurate, and it's easy to point and say that we haven't had an upward trajectory, but the reality of it is the United States has more positive tests than we have all across the other countries in the world. And so that we know that there's a concern there. We're going to continue to stay strong and to continue to make sure that we protect one another. Again, it's just we're not at the point right now where it's currently safe to reopen. We're assessing it every single day. And that's why the governor started those plans to have a plan in place once we're ready to do so. But at this point, we're not there yet. And it's important that we can continue to look at the data, especially with it telling us that New Mexico hasn't hit our peak. If we move too quickly, what we also see is not only are people infected, more so is the possibility of more deaths that occur, but we also can overwhelm our healthcare system. And that's the last thing that we want to do. So again, it's thoughtful discussion, thoughtful process. And, and I hope the federal government would see that because I think that they were slow to react, and I think in many ways was the reason why every state had to go on their own and do what they needed to do for their own state. New Mexico, fortunately, took the aggressive route. We have a governor who's very experienced in cabinet-level positions as well as at the federal side, and I believe that the approaches she took, although at times may be unpopular, they're effective, and New Mexicans' lives are saved because of it.
So is there any specific number that you're going to ask health experts to possibly suggest maybe 10, 20 new cases a day? I mean, when can we reopen the economy? I mean, is there anything that's going to determine that move?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of variables that are going to go in there. And this is a great discussion point because this is continual discussions that are happening at the federal level as well as local levels. So I do want to say that in order, I think there's three things that we need to ensure before we fully go out and open up the economy is one, that we have to have testing, more testing that takes place to ensure that every person can give us an idea of what's happening out there. We want to make sure that the contact and the tracing of those that have been tested positive, and then to isolate those individuals who may need to. So we got to make sure that that's first that we look at. Then we want to prevent infection against our most vulnerable populations. This includes our elderly, this includes our youngest children, this also includes those with health conditions, as well as our other populations that may be deemed vulnerable. We have to have systems in place to ensure if there is a swing up of the virus that these are taken into consideration. And then we have to make sure that our hospitals can absorb if there's a big wave that comes in, as we're expecting in the state of New Mexico, that our hospital and our healthcare system can absorb that. Right now, again, looking to see where we're at, we have control of how quickly we can open this economy. And believe me, the governor, myself,
every person wants to open up and have business operate, but not at the expense of lives. And we want to make sure that when that's done, that we do it in a way that's going to be safe as well as long-term, so we don't have to go back and have to take steps that are going to close business once again.
Okay, New Mexico Lieutenant Governor Howie Morales, thank you so much for joining us for Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update, and we wish you the best as during this crisis.
And thank you, Anthony. I appreciate all the questions, all the comments. We took notes, making sure that people understand that when they share and have concerns, that we're taking those seriously, and just appreciate the time to connect with people all across the state.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant Governor. You're listening to Voice of the Public Coronavirus Update here on KRWG Las Cruces and KRXG Silver City. Stay with us. The NPR newscast is coming up next. After that, it's Intermezzo.